Good evening, church. I see what you did there, Sam. Thank you. Appreciate that. It's often funny when how often it happens that on the Sunday when I have the evening lesson, I'm sitting in Bruce's lesson going, oh, I was going to use that scripture. Oh, that scripture's in my outline too. And I always debate with myself, should I go home and take those out? Because people have heard them already today, and I always end up thinking, nope, we're just going to forge ahead. So that's exactly what we're doing this evening. Tonight we're going to be talking about the idea of setting our sails. And as the subtitle of the lesson on the slide says, we're going to talk about steering our ship despite the winds that life may throw at us. This is Ella Wheeler Wilcox. She was an American poet and author. She was born in Wisconsin in 1850. She started writing poetry at the age of 8 and was so good at it, but by the time she finished high school, she was well known throughout the state of Wisconsin for the poems that she'd written. She's probably best known to us today for a poem that she wrote entitled Solitude, which begins with the lines, laugh and the world laughs with you, weep and you weep alone. For the sad old earth must borrow its mirth, but has trouble enough of its own. But pertinent to tonight's lesson, I wanted to share another poem that Ms. Wilcox wrote, and that's a poem called The Winds of Fate that was written in 1916. She wrote, one ship drives east and another drives west with the selfsame winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sails and not the gales that tells them which way to go. Like the winds of the sea are the winds of fate as we voyage along through life. 'Tis the set of the soul that decides its goal and not the calm or the strife. Just as a boat can be directed in any direction by the way that its sails are set, no matter which way the wind is blowing, that same thing is true of us in life. That we all get hit by various winds of circumstance in this life. And we can choose either to be blown along in the direction the wind wants to take us, or we can set our sails in such a way that we continue on the course that we have chosen. The idea that we should determine the direction of our actions rather than letting the circumstances that surround us determine which way we go is very much a scriptural principle. In fact, we see this principle at work in the life of Jesus. Peter gives us one example in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 21, when he says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Jesus is a perfect example of one who did not allow the wind to determine his direction. His sails were set, and he was going to go the way he was called to go, regardless of which way the winds wanted to blow him. And we need to follow that example if we are in Christ. We need to be people who set our sails in a chosen direction and don't allow the winds of circumstance to direct us in ways that we ought not to go. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, we can set our sails in truth. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 14th verse, Paul tells us that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. There are many things in this life that would tell us things that contrast with or even conflict directly with what the Word of God teaches us. We can choose to be blown around by those things, or we can choose to be directed always by the truth of God's Word. Sometimes those winds are very strong. Sometimes those winds are very persuasive. Sometimes those winds seem convincing because they're blowing in the way that everybody else is going. But we need to be people who set our sails according to truth, according to the things that God's Word teaches us, the things that direct us always toward Christ. One thing that helps us with that is to set our sails in prayer. James, in James, the first chapter, the fifth verse, would say, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting." And notice the figure that James uses. He says, "For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." If we want to know what to do next in life, rather than allowing the winds of life to push us as the wind would blow, we can always turn to God and ask for wisdom. Because as James says, he'll give it to us if we ask without doubting, if we ask in faith. But when we allow ourselves to abstain from that privilege, when we don't turn to God in those moments, or when, as James suggests, we doubt in our prayer, then we're like that wave that's driven by the wind. We're no longer going the way that our sails are set, but we're going whichever way the wind blows. God has given us an avenue to him in order that we might not do that. But we have to utilize that avenue, and we have to be convinced that if we ask, he will provide the direction that we need. We also, We also have to set our sails in godliness. It's not enough simply for us to ask for wisdom. We also have to act in wisdom. In Titus, the second chapter, in the 11th verse, Paul would write, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." Now we can, again, here we have another example. We can choose one of two paths. We can allow the winds of the world to blow us into ungodliness. And as most of us who've lived a little bit of life know, those winds can be pretty strong. In fact, we live in a community where those winds are extremely strong sometimes. And yet, we can make a choice, James says. The grace of God has given us the means by which we can choose to live in the direction that our sails are set. We can choose, as Paul says to Titus, to live soberly. And by that he doesn't mean simply not drunken, but he means with serious mind, with focused mind and righteously to seek in God's word those things that we ought to be doing and do those rather than doing those things that the world holds out to us that we could do instead. And to live godly. To live after the pattern that God Himself sets before us. And we have but to look at the perfect example of His Son as He lived in this world and lived life to see the manner in which we ought to conduct ourselves. Are those choices always easy? No. Again, the winds are strong, but we can choose by the grace of God to live the kind of life that God would have us to live. And we do that by setting our sails in listening to God's word. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews, the second chapter, the first verse, says, "Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away." What happens to a boat at the dock if it's not tied up? Sooner or later, it's out in the middle of the harbor. And not too long after that, it's out at sea. That doesn't happen all at once. That drifting happens little by little. It might drift a few inches on the first day. Maybe a foot or two by the second day. Maybe it takes a week before it drifts all the way out to the middle of the harbor. But sooner or later, that drift happens if the boat's not tied up. We have to make sure our boat is tied up. And we do that, the writer of Hebrews says, by listening more carefully. He says, giving the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard. The things that we've been taught from God's word. Because if we don't continually listen to those things and pay attention to what God's word wants to teach us, it's very easy for us to drift away. All of us, sad to say, probably know someone who used to be here and isn't here now. Who used to be in the assembly of the saints on a regular basis, but whom we don't see anymore. That change didn't happen overnight. It happened little by little. They didn't get out to the middle of the harbor and out to sea all in one day. It happened little by little. But what we have to realize is that that can happen to any of us. None of us are immune. That's why we have to pay attention to what God's word is telling us. Because if we don't, we leave the boat untied. And an untied boat drifts. And that's not the kind of boat that we want to be. We also have to set our sails in perseverance because the storms of life are powerful. The Apostle Paul, in many of his writings, talks about the manner in which he suffered for the faith and the scars that he bore as a result of it, both literal and metaphorical. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, in the 17th verse, he says, "From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." He literally bore in his body the scars of the times when he had been beaten, the times when he had been stoned, the times when he'd been left adrift after a shipwreck. Pelted by the debris from the ship. But also those scars were not just physical. In Philippians chapter 1 at verse 20, Paul would say, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now always Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul recognized that regardless of the things that life threw at him, he had to remain on course. Because to do otherwise was to be lost. But to remain on course, even in the midst of the suffering and the pain and the hardships that he endured, was ultimately to live in Christ, whether in this life or in the life to come. Paul understood the value of perseverance. Thanks be to God, none of us are probably going to be called upon to endure the kinds of things that Paul was called upon to endure. But make no mistake about it, we are called upon to endure the storms that our lives contain. And like Paul, we have to be willing to accept those marks and to weather those storms. Because to live in that manner is indeed Christ. Even if it means the loss of our physical life, that indeed is gain. We have to continue to sail on course, no matter how stormy the sea may get. In Philippians chapter 1 at verse 27, and again, here's one of those passages that Bruce mentioned to us this morning in his lesson. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. We have to be determined to set our sails in the model of Christ. And to, as Paul says, let our conduct be worthy of the gospel. But notice also something else that Paul says that's easy for us to miss in this passage. He talks about wanting, as he writes to these Christian brothers and sisters, he talks about wanting to know that they stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Because see, here's the important thing. Sometimes we feel we can't control our own boat. But if we tie all the boats together, we are stronger. We become a fleet in that manner. And that's why God in Christ has given us each other. Because it's easy for my little boat to get lost in the waves. But my boat tied to your boat, and to her boat, and to his boat, and all of our boats together, if we are all sailing in the same direction, it is far less likely that any of our boats will be lost. We don't have to do this alone, is the message. We have one another for strength and encouragement and support. And so it is that it's not only that our conduct should be worthy of the gospel for our own benefit and for the glory of God, but so that we can be an encouragement to one another. Because if you stand fast in the gospel, it helps me to do it. Mm-hmm. That if we can strive together in the gospel, it is much less likely that either of us will drift away. Because determination defeats the storm. And again, a passage that Bruce shared with us this morning in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in the 58th verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It gets hard to wrestle the sails. It gets difficult to man the oars, to keep a grip on the wheel when we talk about the boat of our lives. But God has given us the resources by which we can remain steadfast. And our boat can be immovable, not drifting, but secure in the harbor. And how do we do that? By, as Paul says, abounding always in the work of the Lord. Because the busier we are doing what's right, the less time we have to do what's wrong. The more time we spend thinking about and dwelling on and filling our hearts and minds with the things of God's Word, the less room we have for the things that will cause us to drift away. The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews the 6th chapter in the 19th verse, said, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil." If our hope is in Christ, we have an anchor that is sure and steadfast. I don't have to be stronger than the storm, because He who is my anchor is. And if I am securely tied to Him, I won't drift. It's only when I allow myself to get untied and I lose grip on the anchor that I drift away. Our hope is in Christ, and it's He who gives us the ability to set our sails. As the poet reminded us, it's the set of the soul that decides the goal, and not the calm or the strife. It's not the wind that determines our direction. It's the choice we've made on how we're going to sail. It may be you're here tonight, and I don't know that this applies to anyone, but we're going to say it anyway, that you have not yet found your anchor in Christ. That you have not yet put on the one who can help you direct your boat. That is to say, by obeying the gospel of Christ and by putting Him on through obedient faith in baptism. If that's you, here's a cold hard truth. The storms are bigger than your boat. You cannot navigate this life by yourself. But as we were reminded in our observance of the Lord's Supper just a little bit ago, one gave His life that we don't have to be bigger than the storm, because His body and His blood are more powerful than any storm that could come against us. If you've not yet come to Christ and put him on in the manner that he himself ordained, you could do that tonight. You could tie your boat to the anchor. But for most of us, the reality is we've done that. But sometimes we let that rope get a little long. Sometimes we allow ourselves to get a little further from the anchor. We allow the sails to get a little floppy in the wind. And if that's something that you're struggling with, know that everybody in this room is having those same struggles. But again, reminding ourselves that if we stand fast together, we are stronger. And if you need encouragement, if you need prayers from your brothers and sisters, if there's something that you need to repent of that we can encourage you in doing, whatever your need might be this evening, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the song that Sam's chosen for us.